Good evening. Good crowd tonight. We have Dakota. Dakota's going to be bringing the word to us tonight, and he's going to be talking about prayer and the significance of prayer in our Christian lives. And so I'm excited for this. This is his first time here at Vine Street bringing the word to us, and I'm excited to learn from him. So be praying for him while you're listening, and I'm going to turn it over to Dakota.
Okay. Now, before I begin this sermon on prayer, I would like to pray with you guys first. And so, please bow your heads. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us all here safely today, Lord. I pray for anybody in the crowd that's feeling just down on themselves, Lord, and I pray that you will just forgive them for whatever they're feeling, Lord, and I pray that you will just lift them up and fill them with Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll just let this sermon step on toes and touch people's hearts and they can be applied to their lives, Lord. Pray that you will just be with all of us when we go back home. In your son's precious name, I pray. Amen. All right. Now, before I start this off, I'm begin with a little bit of illustration to kind of shape what the topic's on. And the illustration is like, say you're in the army or whatever, and you're a soldier, and you're going out into just patrolling or whatever. And you come out and you get ambushed. You're surprised and bullets flying. A fear and loss, the fear of that is shrouding over everybody. And then you need help. And so, as most soldiers have, is a radio. And they radio for help. And help will come arrive and save them, and they'll be good. It'd be either be like Air Support or anybody else. And but the thing is what if they don't have a radio? What if they didn't bring one because they thought it wasn't going to be important? Well, then that's just too bad. Or what if none of them knew how to use it? They have one, but don't know what to do with it. Doesn't help them at all. That would just bring death upon them, and that's no fun. But the topic is the importance of prayer. How to use it, what's its purpose, stuff like that. And that kind of relates with the illustration a little bit, as the radio being prayer. And that's a scripture for this. I have two of them. The first one is about on Matthew 4. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And if you'll flip to that. The context of this scripture is Jesus was just baptized by John the Baptist, and then now he's going into the wilderness to fast. And the start of it is verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Then the tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." But he answered, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the city, the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus told him, "It is also written, do not test the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said to him, "I will give you all these things if you'll fall down and worship me." And Jesus told him, "To go away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and immediately angels came and began to serve him. I'm going to break this scripture down for a little bit. And verse 1, it talks about how Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and tempted by the devil. And I talked about this with somebody recently, and a lot of people have thought that the Holy Spirit had led him and tempted him because he led him to it, but that's not the case at all. The Holy Spirit led him, but the devil was the tempter. It says it in the passage. It can be misinterpreted, I guess. But Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then the tempter approached him. And I feel that the reason that happened is the devil waited 40 days and 40 nights to approach him is because he would have thought Jesus' will could have been weakened where he was hungry, and it'd been easier to tempt somebody. That was very cunning on the devil's part. I mean, that was a smart thing to do if you were in the devil's position, but it's not smart to tempt God, I guess. And that just shows how cunning he is, and he's very sly, and he can get away with a lot of things. But verses 3 and 4, as the devil tried to get Jesus to turn rocks into bread, Jesus quoted scripture from Deuteronomy 8. And Jesus very well could have. He could have turned the stones into bread and ate, but that means he wouldn't have trusted God to sustain him by doing it by himself. And so Jesus used scripture to guard himself, which is, that's great, man. And the 40 days and 40 nights, he used that in prayer, and so I'm sure he was praying throughout this. But then the devil tempted him again in jumping off a ledge. The devil even used scripture to tempt him, and it was from Psalms 91, 11 through 12. He tried to use the word of God in a temptful way. It shows even more cunning. He tried to use our beliefs to get us to fall. The devil will try to use our beliefs to get us to fall. That's where doubt comes from and stuff. But then Jesus quotes scripture again from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 says to counter, he tried to counter the devil's words. He keeps fighting temptation. He kept trying to fight it, kept fighting it. Then the tempter tries a third time to tempt Jesus with possession over all creation. I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. He tempted him three times. The devil was being really relentless. He was not going to stop. He was going to keep coming back. It's like us in our daily lives. The devil will come back every time we try to make a move. And Jesus sends him away, quoting Deuteronomy again for the third time. Deuteronomy 6. Jesus fought off the devil, trusted in the Lord, sent the devil away. He trusted in the Lord because he knew that God had his back through all the prayer that he had done and the reading of his word. God spoke to him, and he knew that God had his back and would not forsake him. And that's, to relate that to the illustration, I mean, he used the radio, prayer, and the word to get in contact with his God to fight off everything else. And so in our walk as soldiers in Christ, we can call upon the Lord to help us through our temptations, and he will help us. He will help us. And just prayer and the word in unison, that's a very powerful combination. And my first point is why prayer is important. That's because it's your defense against the cunning of the devil, and it is what provides you with the assistance to fight back, especially when prayer and the word are being in unison, especially. I mean, if you put those together. And the points of application is when you pray that God will give you the strength to flee from all sins, flee from every bit of it. Whether it's lust, pride, sexual immorality, judgment of others, where you think you're better than somebody else, or anything at all. Every sin is equal, so any sin that you have, you can come to God for that. And now that we know why prayer in combination with the word is important, we must know how. Like how we should go about it, how we should look at it. And that's where the next scripture comes in. It's Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. Context is after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And myself here. Okay. Verse 5. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the thing you need before you ask him. Then, therefore, you should pray like this, and this is a model prayer that Jesus gave. Is our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now that last part, for yours is the kingdom, power, and glory forever, is in my Bible, it's bracketed. Like in the other manuscripts, some of it wasn't there. But in my Bible, it's there. I don't know what it is in y'all's. But to break that down is, Jesus was telling his disciples that when they pray, don't do it like the hypocrites who do it for adoration. Pharisees and other officials of religion would go into temples and find the best seat and pray, and so that others could see them and they could just be seen as holy people. Like, oh, that guy's so good. He prayed for a whole 10 minutes the other day in the temple. And then Jesus also tells them that when they do pray, go in private. So it's personal. Prayer is speaking with the powerful creator of the universe. You're speaking with God, the creator. Most powerful being ever, and ever will be. And that time should be heartfelt. I mean, you shouldn't be using it to your own selfish worldly gain, because will crack down on that. And this doesn't mean that public prayer is wrong. I mean, you can pray in public, but it's, I think it's really saying about your intentions when you go to pray. I think it's more of like, whenever you go to pray, don't be using it for yourself, but use it as like you're actually praying to God. Just imagine like everybody else around you is not there. You're praying to God. It's just you and him, but there's other people present and where you're at. Jesus also tells them they shouldn't babble when praying, just so that they sound holy and well-composed. This means that you should use words in prayer to say what you need to say and be done. I mean, you don't need to drag it out for the purpose of sounding like you're on a whole nother level with God, because you're equal as just the rest of us. I mean, say a new person in his faith prays to God, and then Chris over here prays to God. They're the same. They're both sinners. So yeah, I myself am not on another level than anybody else. Jesus then gives a model of prayer, of what a good prayer should look like. His model is short and sweet, to the point, says exactly what he means to say. He gives praise to the Father, asks for forgiveness of sins, and asks for deliverance of temptations. That's usually what I try to base my prayers around, is just say what I need to do and get out. I'm usually short and sweet. This sermon's going to be pretty short, I guess. To relate that to the illustration, that was what Jesus gave us as his model of prayer. As we can look through the Psalms also for good examples, there's 150 chapters of Psalms, and they're all good examples of what prayer should look like. And all the soldiers that were in the ambush knew how to use a radio to call for help, so we also should be able to call for help and know how to do that with our Lord for our help in battles of temptations and stuff. We should be able to, since he's given us that opportunity, we should be able to use that and know how to use that. Second point in the sermon, which is also the last point, is what prayer should be, and I think it should be crying out to the Lord to either praise him or to ask him for help, or both in the same prayer. I mean, and it shouldn't be an event so people can see you and give you praise for what you're doing. It's truly amazing that God wants to speak with sinners like us, and prayer gives us that opportunity. I mean, it is amazing. If you think of all the vile things we've done in our life, and I mean, we all have our sin, I guess, the one that we just notice the most, and if you just think of that, we are terrible people, I guess, in comparison to God, and he wants to speak with us and have a relationship with us, and that's awesome. So your prayer time shouldn't be used for your selfishness. It should be used to pray with God and ask for help and forgiveness. The applications that points to that is pray for your sin, whether it's with lust, pride, or whatever. Any one of your sins is on your heart. You can pray to God for forgiveness of that. Pray for conviction of the sins that plague you. Just pray to God that he will show you what else is on your heart that needs to be dealt with. And he will. In my prayer life recently, he's shown me things that I didn't know I was doing. I'm going to try to work to fix that, but I can never be perfect. But I can try to, I guess. Strive to go that way. And you got to pray for forgiveness of the sins that you commit daily that you may not notice. I mean, all the time I probably think something I'm not supposed to be thinking, and then I don't notice it, but I can pray for forgiveness of those sins as well. And pray to praise the Lord God for everything, for giving you this opportunity to speak to him. You can pray a prayer to thank him for letting you be able to pray. Perfectly fine. Pray to lift up your brothers and sisters, especially when they're sick or if they need guidance or if they need the Holy Spirit or something. You can pray to lift those brothers up and sisters. And you can pray for a strengthened walk with the Lord. You can pray for a better prayer life. I do that all the time because my prayer life's not that great. We as Baptists love to use the word a lot, but our prayer lives aren't that great. I mean, we can fix that. In conclusion, we are God's army. We are the soldiers in Christ. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, you are a soldier of Christ. As soon as you get saved, you are enlisted into God's army. You are to fight the good fight for Jesus, because we are in a lost world. And if we don't contact him for help when we need it most, how can we fight it off by ourselves? We can't. We cannot fight anything off ourselves that deals with sin, because we are sinful people. And so we must pray. That is a core value in our faith, to pray to God. And that's about it. Let me just Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing all these people here to listen, Lord. And I just pray that you will just help this apply to somebody's life and that they will try to strengthen their prayer life, Lord. Pray that it will touch somebody, Lord, and they will go back out into the world and try to show somebody else about how to pray or something like that. And I just pray, Lord, that you will be with all of us as we go back into our lives and just help us fight off sin with you by our side. In your son's precious name I pray. Amen.